On this episode of Still Loading, we're getting tropical. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode in the 40 for 40 series, we are covering Star Tropics for the NES. This is one of the all-time great hidden gems, I would say. A lot of people who know the NES know this game, but people outside of it really don't know too much about it. You know, if you walk to anyone else on the street, even like other gamers, they might not know about Star Tropics all that much. You know, people will know of Mario and maybe probably Samus from Metroid and, you know, Captain Falcon, you know, from Smash Brothers and F-Zero mainly. Of course, that's where Captain Falcon's from. But, you know, this type of Star Tropics is not a game that's really on the tip of someone's tongue when they think about the NES. And it's kind of a shame because it's a really good game. So in true Still Loading style, let's talk about the box art to start off. So first off, it's got a really appealing box. It has these bright yellow letters at the top that say Star Tropics with kind of like an orange shadow right underneath it. And then it's just a picture of this, like this really nice airbrushed painting. Maybe it's airbrushed. I don't know how they made it, but like this really nice painting of a tropical island. You see a little pond in the center, looks like almost the edge of a peninsula, and you see the ocean out surrounding it, these really pretty trees and a sunset going off on the background. It's a really nice and appealing looking box, and on the back it says Star Tropics, tropical adventure of epic dimensions. I was about to say proportions, dimensions. And on the back it goes, a teenager's dream vacation on a tranquil South Sea island. A shooting star? It's an omen of disaster. Mike's archaeologist uncle has been kidnapped. Mike alone can rescue him. Thus begins the test of island courage. Happy villagers eagerly assist, but endless enemies threaten every step. Mike's search leads him through the lush wilderness of Star Tropics. As he travels on foot or by submarine through this sunny land of dark secrets and deadly peril, Mike is a tireless fighter. Using common sense, an island yo-yo, magic potions, and mysterious new weapons and skills, Mike must defend himself. Restore his strength with coconut milk. Help him defeat strange creatures, sea monsters, and hidden attackers. Join Mike in his adventure. Not on his adventure, it says here. It says in his adventure. Journey to the Star Tropics. So, Star Tropics is an interesting game. First off, it's kind of like a Zelda clone. And it was heavily inspired by Zelda. And for those who remember, I did mention Star Tropics a couple months ago when I did a little like history episode on Nintendo R&D 3. That is the Nintendo team that made this, Nintendo Research and Development Team 3. And that team was headed up by Genyo Takeda. And like I said, if you want to hear more about what R&D 3 does, go listen to that episode, because they're pretty much the architects of a lot of people's childhood. So I would definitely go check out that episode, because there's a lot of good info in there. In any case, so what's interesting about Star Tropics is that while it was developed in Japan by Nintendo themselves, Nintendo R&D 3, it was only released in North America and Europe. It was never actually released originally in Japan. And the main reason for that is that they were trying to appeal to strictly an American market. So that's why, if you read on the back of the box, your weapon is actually a yo-yo. You get rid of the whole high fantasy element of it. There's no swords and shields, and there's no, you know, like, not a lot of fantastical elements involved, though there is some magic. They were trying to go for a more modern vibe to it, and they, for the most part, they succeeded, though I agree and disagree. It's meant to be a more modern vibe, because your character's name is Mike Jones. It didn't say it on the back of the box, but the character's name is Mike Jones, and, you know, you're trying to rescue your uncle, who's an archaeologist. And so the game, the developers purposely put in a lot of references to America specifically. your character's name is Mike Jones, which was one of the most popular, like, Mike was the most popular name for a boy in 1990, and I think Jones was the third most popular last name. Only reason I know that is because of the Gaming Historian. Go check out his YouTube channel. I would not have had those stats off the top of my head. In any case, so Mike Jones is a common name, so it feels very American just by your character's name. Additionally, the weapons that Mike has are a yo-yo, like we said before, but you can pick up different power-ups. The yo-yo is unlimited use, but you can pick up different power-ups that have a limited amount of use. So you can pick up cleats, which I think you can just throw at enemies. That's such a weird idea. You can pick up like a bat. You can pick up, like, I think it's like a flamethrower. Like, he's shooting flames, almost like a fireball thing. But in any case, and you have all these different kinds of weapons to help you defeat enemies. The game itself, the controls are very linear. It's weird. It's a weird way to describe the controls, but that's honestly the best descriptive term I can think of. It has very linear controls because you pretty much can only move in the four cardinal directions. There's no diagonals. It's just north, south, east, west, up, down, left, right. Up, down, left, right, north, south, east. I kind of, you know, east is right, whatever. I would just realize I kind of did that in a backwards order, whatever. So north, south, east, west, up, down, right, left, whatever. Whatever. I can't speak. Oh my god, it's late. So let's move on. But like I said, sorry, the controls are very linear because you can only control in those four directions. And additionally, it's odd because it's not like, you know, all right, let me hit up to move up the screen, right to move to the right, left to move to the left, so on and so forth. You have to hit the button twice, once to face the direction you want to go to, or you are trying to move in, and then you hit it again to actually move in that direction. So if you're already facing the direction, you just hit it once and you're good. So if you're facing up on the screen, you just hit up and he will automatically move. But if you're trying to move down, left, or right, you actually have to hit those buttons twice to do it. You have to hit down twice, once to face that direction and the second time to actually move. So it's a little weird, and I can understand it pissing off some people to start off, but it really isn't too bad once you get used to it. And the jumping mechanics in the game, because unlike Zelda where you couldn't jump, this one you can, but it's weird because you can jump exactly one block, like not one block adjacent, but you can jump over one block or one tile if you want to think about it like that. And you're very controlled in your jumps. Like, you can jump into water and die. Like, for some reason, Mike can't swim, even though he's going to a tropical island, but whatever, it doesn't make any sense. In any case, the way you control, like I said, you can jump exactly, I guess technically two blocks, because you're skipping the block directly adjacent to you and going to the next one. So you jump exactly that distance, no more, no less. And so that's why I'm saying the controls are linear. You know exactly what you're getting into. There's not really any flexibility with it, so you have to really learn how to control the character. Now, what's nice about that, I mean, while that may suck because you're very limited, what's nice about it is that the game is designed all around that. So for you to die by something other than an enemy and just like movement, you really have to fuck up. Like, you have to try to do it. Or there are some elements in the game where they are admittedly unfair, because you'll go through another door and you'll just fall into a water pit. Like, they put specific rooms in there that literally take you nowhere. As soon as you walk through the door and, you know, move to the next screen, it's just water and you can't go back. You're dead. So I ran into that one when I was trying out the game. So there is some frustrations with the level design itself, but overall the game works around the limitations of those controls, which I can't stress enough how good that is, because too often, especially on the NES, for those who've played a lot of NES games, who've played a lot of NES games know, a lot of old games that aren't designed well generally don't really take the controls into consideration when they are designing the actual, you know, enemy placement, the level design, and all that other stuff. They don't keep the controls in mind at all. That's why games like Castlevania, Mario, Mega Man, Metroid, all those games are so good and so timeless because when they designed the game, they took into account how are we letting the player control the character on the screen, and that's super important. So while Star Tropics has a weird controller layout and controller setup and controls itself, like I said, they're very linear. They design around it, so you really feel in control of Mike the entire time. All right, so let's look at the manual a little bit here. Let's hear a little bit of the story, because you kind of heard, like, I read a little bit on the back, but let's actually go into it as the manual reads it, because I don't think I really did a good job kind of, like, expelling it off the top of my head. So, the story. Hi, my name is Michael Jones, but my friends call me Mike. I'm 15 years old, and I live in Seattle, Washington. Have you heard of my Uncle Steve? Sorry, it's just so weird to me seeing, like, oh my god, the painting of Mike on here, he looks like a madman, like his eyes are looking in different directions. Oh my god, it's fucking awesome, I love it. He looks insane. Anyway, so, have you heard of my Uncle Steve? Well, most people don't call him that, they call him Dr. Jones. He's a very famous archaeologist who is looking for some lost ruins in the Coral Sea. I've never actually met him, but last week I received a letter from him inviting me to stay with him at his laboratory on Sea Island. I leave tomorrow on a helicopter. I bet I won't be able to sleep at all tonight. Well, good night. That's pretty much it. And what happens, you know, Mike gets to the island to meet his uncle. You find out that he's been abducted, though you don't know by who. And you have to go try and rescue him. And to kind of go along with this, I mean, you may have... some of you probably already thought it up in your head with the whole Dr. Jones reference. But I guess it's important to note that Dr. Jones, you know, Indiana Jones, once again, they included a lot of references to America for this. Like, you have your character's name is Mike Jones. His weapons of choice are bats and yo-yos and cleats. Like, very, like, baseball American pastime stuff. Your uncle's name is Dr. Jones. Very clear, you know, nod towards Indiana Jones. In fact, you can control a submarine later on in the game, and you need different codes to tell the submarine where to take you. And one of the codes is 1776, you know, the year America declared its independence. So they did a lot of these subtle, yet not so subtle at times, nods to, like, North America or America in general. Which is why it was only really released in the U.S. It was designed specifically with the U.S. in mind. So in any case, you progress through the game and you have to try to, you know, go through different dungeons and you have to beat the bosses. And what's cool is, while I already talked about the controls, in terms of design, you have an overworld map very similar to the Legend of Zelda overworld map. But the majority of the game and combat are in the dungeons. And the dungeons kind of go into kind of like how Legend of Zelda is. The whole thing is top-down, but it's interesting because on the top-down view of the world map, like when you're going around trying to find the different dungeons, looking through different towns and villages and stuff like that, the graphics aren't that great. They're very, like, small sprites. They don't look that appealing. But when you get into the dungeons, all of a sudden the sprite for Mike is huge, and it almost kind of reminds me of the sprites for, like, Punch-Out. Like, the heads are a little bit big and kind of wonky, and it feels like actually like Little Mac almost, but it's strange. But in any case, the graphics are still appealing, and you have to play through the dungeon, beat a boss, and, you know, progress on to the next, you know, and then you'll go back to the overworld and you find your way to the next dungeon. Now, I did not get to beat this. I got pretty far into it. I didn't even have time to watch a long play of it, because it was 2 hours long and I don't got time for that. I'm just gonna be honest. I will link the long play in the video description, though, so if you guys want to see more of it, want to see the gameplay itself, definitely check it out. It's really cool. But in any case, so you progress through the game like that, you fight different bosses, you know, using the various weapons that you pick up. The yo-yo, like I said before, is the only permanent one, and you can pick up temporary ones like the bat, which is weird to think, like, you only have like 50 swings of it or something. It's a really odd kind of way to do things. And one thing, in speaking of the gameplay, remember before I was saying how there is, you know, codes that you have to enter into the submarine in order to tell the submarine where you want to go? Well, there's a really interesting thing that Nintendo did with this, And unfortunately, my box, my copy of this, I don't have it technically complete in the box because of this. So there's this weird, some people think it's anti-piracy, which it would make sense, but it's honestly really cool. So on the back of the manual, in fact, I can see where this used to be, there was a letter written from your uncle, Steve Jones, or Dr. Jones, to Mike, the character, and it had a secret message on it. And what you would do is you would actually take the letter off of this, the back of the manual, and put water over it, and it would reveal a secret message from your uncle. And it would give you a specific frequency, like a specific code for the submarine. And you could not progress through the game until you got that code. And they give you a hint in the game. It says, I sent a letter to my nephew, to Mike, please have him put water on it. And, you know, as a kid, you might not think about it right off the bat because you're thinking, like, did I get a letter in the game? No, you didn't. You actually got a physical letter in the box that you actually had to submerge in water to get the code. Now, nowadays, this is relatively well known in the gaming community, but I still think it's a really cool idea. And I remember I was talking to, in an earlier episode, I think it was brought up with my friend Jamie. He was on the episodes for like Final Fantasy VI and Castlevania and such. This probably was like a really primitive form of like, DRM, if you want to think of it. I mean, I know it wasn't DRM, but, you know, anti-theft measures, because you literally could not progress through the game unless you had that code. Now, the catch-22, I guess, is that it was the same code across all cartridges, so it's not like the code was unique to individual games, so you can just, you know, freaking go find it online, and then there you go. So, but that was a really cool thing of them to do. Whether it's an anti-theft thing or not, it still kind of added to that, the whole aesthetic, and it made you kind of immerse yourself a little bit more into this world of Star Tropics. And it, honestly, it was really freaking cool. I really wish I could have a copy of that letter with my box, but unfortunately, it was not there. I just have the manual, which is actually still in very good condition, so I'm pretty happy with that. On the Gaming Historian video, you can actually watch him submerge the letter in water and see the code, or see the hidden message appear. And that's really awesome to see. So once again, I'm going to include the link for the Gaming Historian video in the description, as well as a link to a long play of the game in the description, so you can check out everything. And what's more is the Gaming Historian goes in a little bit more detail about the history and development of the game. So definitely, if this kind of thing interests you, go watch his video. And I guess one of the last things I really want to comment on is the music. And I'm always really bad about talking about music, because I feel like it honestly is dumb to talk about music without actually having you be able to listen to it. And so I know I could put the songs in here, but it generally is, I'll be honest, I'm a little lazy with it. It's annoying to have to go out and find all these clips and splice it all together. And I do this all on my own, so I'm lazy. What can I say? I do include them sometimes, but I'll see if I can put a link. I put a link, like I said, I'm going to be including a link for Gaming Historian and a long play. I'll find a link to the entire soundtrack. You can listen to it on there. But the music's really good. I would say it's one problem is that it's a little bit repetitive. You're going to find yourself listening to the same themes over and over and over again. So while they are good, if you're not a big fan of them, you might end up hating the soundtrack, because that's all you're going to hear for quite a while. And that pretty much wraps up everything I had to say about Star Tropics for the NES. I think I covered a decent amount on it. I guess the last thing I will say, which is going to be really quick, and it doesn't really have a good segue into it, but the bosses are fun to play. They're all very unique and different, and I liked what I played of it. And I guess that is a good final, like, sum up of it. Like, it was a fun game to play. This is one of the better ones on the NES. And I definitely suggest trying out this game if you have not. This game did have a sequel, which unfortunately I do not have complete in box, so it will not be on this 40 for 40 series. But it was called Zoda's Revenge, Star Tropics 2. And it was one of the last games ever released on the NES by Nintendo. It came out in 1994. To put in perspective, 1994 is the same year that Donkey Kong Country and Super Metroid came out on the Super Nintendo. So, you know, it's a pretty late title on the NES. So, and the original Star Tropics came out 4 years prior. So no one was really thinking about Star Tropics. Additionally, when the name is Zoda's Revenge Star Tropics 2, it can kind of, like, you might not, people might, that might not be something that everyone sees right off the bat. Like, what's Zoda's Revenge? I don't know about that. And additionally, if you didn't beat Star Tropics 1, you won't even know who Zoda is. He, from what the gaming historian said, like I said, I did not beat it, but from what he said, he shows up at the very end of the first game, so you might not even catch him. But in any case, the game is great. I definitely suggest giving it a play. I liked what I played of it, and I actually want to add it to my list of games to play. That, you know, right now I'm playing through Banjo-Kazooie, I'll add it to my list of games to play afterwards, hopefully. And that wraps everything up. So thank you all once again for listening to this episode of Still Loading. Some quick shout outs. I'd like to give a shout out to my original podcasting partner in crime, The Apex and the Abyss. Also shout out to Two Guys in a Game, The Hotter Show, No Geeks Allowed, spelled K-N-O-W, mind you, K-N-O-W, No Geeks Allowed. The Christian and Damon's Amazing Nerd Show. You can also check out Drinks with Larry, which is one of my personal favorite podcasts. I've been really digging their stuff. Bunch of comedians just joking around, talking about random stuff. It's really funny. I definitely suggest giving them a listen to. The 4205 cast is a good show, and I think that covers everything. So, yeah. That's about it. So thank you all once again for listening. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to reach out to me and send me an email, you can find me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. And please remember to rate, review, and to subscribe to the show on wherever you listen. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. I need to get it on Stitcher still. But please listen to it. Please rate and review it and to subscribe on whatever pod device you're using, pod app you're using. It really helps get the name of the show out there, and it would mean a lot to me if I could see some reviews out there. Hopefully good ones, maybe? In any case, that wraps it all up. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time.